Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Page 57, Chapter 21, Lord Krishna's Explanation of the Vedic Path. Shloka Anusharana. Verses 1 to 43. Further explanation of good and bad. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, those who give up these methods for achieving me, which consist of devotional service, analytic philosophy, and regulated execution of prescribed duties, and instead, being moved by the material senses, cultivate insignificant sense gratification, certainly undergo the continual cycle of material existence. Right? Because sense gratification means the material world. And when Krishna is the primary, so it's service in connection to him, that's the spiritual world. Right? So then, as we mentioned, these other three processes are elevating, right? One after the other. And so if you give those up, you will just stay in the material world. Does that make sense? So that's another thing why we're very careful about. It's not just that these are alternative things. It's that you have two categories. Basically, you have three categories. One, that you're going to be in the material world. That's definite, but not necessarily. It's improving. The second is you're in the material world, but it's proving, because that's the improving, because that's the Vedic. Then you have the devotional, which is not of this world and will take you beyond. Does that make sense? But at least the Vedic, even though it's material, it's in support of the devotional. Because the secondary is the same. The primary is not, but the secondary is the same. But when you drop below that, then both the primary and the secondary are missing. So that's guaranteed ticket for staying here. You don't have to worry. You're not going anywhere. You know, like that. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, Sakama karma is criticized. Bhakti gives attainment of the Lord. Jnana gives attainment of impersonal Brahman. Nishkam karma indirectly gives impersonal Brahman. Sakam karma gives swarga or earthly kingdom. Right, so sakam means you'll stay here. So even you're performing prescribed duties still in the context of nishkam. So you might be performing all the prescribed duties, but without desire for the result, then it indirectly gives the impersonal realization. Right, because you're not doing anything to cause reactions here, so therefore you leave the material world. Well, the other, you're performing nishkarma and focusing on Brahman. So with yon, then you're going that way. Does that make sense? So for the devotional service, we're using all these three, right? So we're looking at the we're performing activities without a desire for the results. So it's sat nishkam, but the results are for Krishna. So it's devotional, right? So because the devotional will give you the results of jnana, right, and karma. So you're getting the particular results that come from the activity, but because it's being done without desire for results, you get liberation, and because it's done to please Krishna, therefore you go to the spiritual world. Right? Does that make sense? Right, so therefore all these aspects are in connection with Krishna. Right? We're not interested in the Vedic system not connected to Krishna. That's being criticized. So Sakam, even though it'll give you swarga, the earthly kingdom, it's not enough. You know, for the soul. It means, you know. Yeah. Sri Krishna continued, steadiness in our own position is declared to be actual piety, whereas deviation from one's position is considered impiety. In this way, the two are definitely ascertained. Footnote 19. Sri Krishna instructs in Bhagavad Gita, it is better to engage in one's own occupation, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's occupation and perform it perfectly. Duties prescribed according to one's nature are never affected by sinful reactions. Right? Bhagavad Gita 18:47. Oh, it's that late. Okay. Because in the modern context, then it's considered, if I can do it perfectly, then I should be doing it. But without the nature to do it, means you may have the knowledge and skill, but if you don't have the qualities also, the guna, then there'll be an improper effect from it. Right? Because the attitude won't match. Something says. Yeah. So in here, this is the wonderfulness of the devotional process, is even though, let's say, like here, we're studying, you know, more technical kind of knowledge. But whether we have the ability in technical knowledge or not, that actually doesn't matter. It's about if we have that devotion. So we have faith in what Krishna is saying, and we have that devotion and apply ourselves, then that application will give that realization. So the purpose of this, you'll gain. Does that make sense? No? Yeah. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, Uddhava may have additional confusion. I ask you what a good quality is and what a bad quality is. You have answered that it is a fault to see good and bad in the devotees, and a good quality not to see good and bad in them. I have this doubt. If someone has faith in your topics and is qualified for pure bhakti, but by faith falls under the control of karmis or jnanis, follows them and performs karma, distasteful as drinking medicine, or practice jnana is seeing fault. Or practice jnana is seeing a fault in his bhakti, a bad quality, and not seeing a fault, a good quality. Moreover, if someone, a karmi, a jnani, does not obtain complete faith in bhakti, since he does not obtain mercy of great devotees, but by seeing the excellence of a devotee, gives up his duties according to his qualification, with a desire to attain such excellence and begins worshipping the Lord and announce that he is a devotee. Should one see good qualities or bad qualities in that impostor, a cheater of the world? Right? Okay. Please hear about the nature of good and bad qualities. The jnani fixed in his qualification for jnana and the karmi fixed in his qualification for karma are proved as good. However, because both cannot give their results by themselves, karma and jnana must be performed with a mixture of bhakti. Otherwise, they do not give any result. Daishkarmyam apyachuta bhava varjitam nashobhate jnanam alam niranjanam. Even the stage of jnana without the bondage of karma, if devoid of bhakti to the Supreme Lord, is not glorious. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.12. On the other hand, being fixed in bhakti, as is done by the Shuddha Bhakta, is a good quality, since bhakti has the power to give its own results. Bhakti should not be performed with any mixture of karma or jnana, since those processes cannot give independent results anyway. Right? Means to mix it with karma and jnana, they don't give the result anyway, it's coming from bhakti. Right? But why are we performing the karma and jnana? Because we want that specific result. But those results come by bhakti anyway. Right? So, therefore, we're performing our duties to please Krishna. We're not performing our duties because of the benefits we'll get from karma and jnana. Does that make sense? So it's not that you cook for Krishna. Right? And then to cook for yourself, you don't cook for Krishna. Cooking for Krishna will already include. Does that make sense? You don't have to make a separate endeavor. It's already included. Right? You're using knowledge, you're using activities according to the nature, right? According to your occupational duties. So it's already being done in devotion. There's no need to mix it with karma jnana. Right, so we say it's karma mister, jnana mister. We're talking about the generally about the consciousness. Right, because if you're performing your prescribed duties, then it's a matter of consciousness only. Right? Does that make sense? Now, if it's not prescribed duties, then of course, then you can see that that doesn't even fit into the other stuff, because it won't even give you swarga of the earthly kingdom. Right? Yeah. Dharmam shantyajya yasaravan mam bhajeta satu satama. A person who understood standing good and bad results of dharma as taught by me, gives up all his duties and simply worships me is the best of all. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.32. Right, so he gives up his duties. He's not doing it because I'm a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vana, Prastha, Sannyas. I'm engaged in the Lord's service. And so one's duties are performed, right? Because remember before, you perform the prescribed duties as long as there's an interest in those areas or a need in those areas. Is that, yeah? But you're doing that as part of the devotional process. So you've given up your duties. We'll generally take it, he's given up his duties means now he doesn't do any of that stuff. Right? Doesn't take care of the family, doesn't pay the mortgage, doesn't take out the garbage. Right? You know, how you say, puts his feet up on the coffee table, you know, with his shoes on, without having wiped them at the front door. You know, all that kind of stuff. No, it means that before you're doing it because of the material benefits. Now you're doing it to please Krishna. Right. Yeah? No? Okay. Tasman mad bhakti yuktasya yogino vai mad atmanaha. Nagyanam nacha vairagyam praya shreyo bhavet iha. Therefore, for a devotee engaged in bhakti, with mind fixed on me, the cultivation of knowledge and renunciation is generally not beneficial for bhakti. So it's not cultivated separately. We're not trying to develop these things because that will make bhakti favorable. Nowadays you may hear people say, yes, we're so smart, the public will accept it. No, it's not like that. So if you're convinced, that's what is there. Does that make sense? People who are, you know, big public figures, you know, known for their opinions. That's the point. They're convinced they're fixed in their opinion. It may be totally bogus, but because they're fixed in it, then it's something to consider. Somebody says. So it's not the gyan and all that. Because many of these people, some of them are intellectuals, but some of them are not. They're just very opinionated and they're willing to tell the world about it. Or they are, you know, have that inherent need and are driven, right? You know, whatever. But the point is they're fixed in that. Therefore, it works. Does that make sense? Okay. Yes? No? Okay. By this is understood that there is a mixture of karma and jnana, pure bhakti disappears. To be fixed in the opposite, someone else's qualification, is fault. This is how good and bad are determined. Right? So, when you're fixed in bhakti, there's no need of good and bad. It's just what is favorable for bhakti and what's not. Then if you're in mixed devotional elements, you mix those, then that's always going to be devotion goes. So therefore, then bad and good come up. Right? So, yeah. And if you're doing someone else's qualification, then it's automatically not good. Because being fixed in your duties, that's proper. Right? As it mentioned before. Right? Steadiness in one's own position is declared to be actual piety, whereas deviation from one's position is considered impiety. In this way, the two are definitely ascertained. Right? So, if you're situated in doing your duty at your level, that's piety. That's right. Does that make sense? So, as it says, you have no desire, then you situate yourself in that platform. You have desire, you situate yourself in that platform. Wherever you situate yourself, you know, according to your position, then performing those duties, that's correct. And not doing those, that's incorrect. Does that make sense? Because we said it's relative, because one rule for one person is correct, the same rule for someone else is not. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. did we get on this page? The BBT purport states, here the Lord emphasizes that a conditioned soul should not artificially disrupt the natural evolution of his Krishna consciousness by deviating from those duties prescribed by the Lord himself. One first gives up the lower stage of attachment to the material body and then subsequently gives up attachment to cultivation of spiritual knowledge. This relieves one of material life. So basically, you are at the platform you're at. Then you cultivate that higher platform at the position you're at. When that position, that higher position is cultivated, that now that's comfortable, then you give up the lower one. As soon as it's comfortable, you give up the lower one. But if you maintain it, now that's a deviation. Right? Because the idea is to progress. It's like the inchworm. You know, he sticks the foot forward when it's situated nicely. Then he picks up the back one. Now, if he doesn't pick it up, he doesn't progress. Right? Does that make sense? Or if he lifts that front one up and comes back, then he regresses. Right? So it's just that's the natural form. Does that make sense? So it's not just, yeah, you situate, don't deviate from the things, but it's you're also cultivating what's higher. You're moving forward. Right? This relieves one of material life. Lord Krishna explains in this verse. Right, so giving up the material attachment to the material body means that we go from sakam to nishkam. We perform the activities, but not in connection to the benefits we'll get. Right? That will bring us to the point of knowledge and detachment. Then we give up attachment to cultivation of spiritual knowledge. It means that all this analytical stuff and all this kind of thing, that it's useful in freeing us from the material entanglement and for us understanding the spiritual position as opposed to the material. So it's very important in that. But to maintain attachment to that because of the taste of the analytical aspects, that's not favorable to bhakti. Because the taste in Krishna is not the analysis. Right? It's just his affection for the devotees and the devotees' affection for Krishna. So it just naturally moves forward. Right? We're so used to moving forward to gyan that now to hear that even from gyan you have to move forward, then it may... So, you know, because otherwise knowledge is always accepted as, you know, very important. Does that make sense? But this is meaning the academic aspect of knowledge, not the realization of knowledge. Right? Because someone who has the realization, the academic aspect is not as important. But someone who doesn't have the realization, then the academic aspect is important. And so therefore they function within it. But should it be understood that that's not the ultimate? The ultimate is that devotion to Krishna. Is this all we understand, or we're all having a Warsaw moment here? Yes.
The difficulty seems to be is that we've given practice of pure devotional service, and some devotees actually, you know, they're good at Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. But in terms of material adhikar, it's a complete mess. And then others looking at their position very confused because two doesn't, you know, they don't match. Because if we go from mode of goodness to pure goodness, it's a natural, you know, step up, and everybody.
But at the same time, is why isn't it goodness? What are we taking that makes it that it's not goodness? He's good in the Shravan and Kirtan. He's fixed there. He's a nice devotee. But you said, you know, the other aspects of his life are not so organized.
Yeah.
But what about that is not goodness? You know, because we're using that because we're trying to get to goodness. So how are we defining goodness here? Because we're defining it that we're expert at getting the, you know, how you say, applying and getting results in our areas of endeavor. You know, that if that is that necessarily mode of goodness?
Not necessarily.
Yes. So that's the point, is we're taking that professionalism is a symptom of goodness. But the point is the professional path is based on both passion and ignorance. You're professional because they drive you to get more. Right? So it's like that, but at the same time, ignorance because of the false ego and all that that goes along with it. Because that's better. So the point is if you look at it, that person, he's doing his duties, though the results may not be so great, right? He's committed to performing his duties, and let's say we're talking about a brahmachari or a family person here.
Well, family, it's more complicated.
Yes. Yeah. So then the family, but him and his wife, they're doing fine as far as relationship goes. They may not have great facilities, and they may have to take the bus, and all that kind of jazz. You know what I'm saying? So why isn't that their duties and mode of goodness? You know what I'm saying? That's the thing, is we're overlaying onto it, projecting a concept of what we would call goodness, because we're looking at goodness means professional.
Yeah, success, basically.
Yeah, but that's passion, not doing your duty because it should be done. That's goodness. Doing your duty because of the results you gain, that's passion. You know what I'm saying? So because of that, so why not see them in goodness? So they're inspiration there. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that person can't be leading in the area that they are good at, but let's say certain managerial stuff that they're not good at, have someone else do that, but doing that as junior to them. You know? Though, basically, when you draw a line, across down like this and go that way, or this way, then, from your perspective, go that way, then they've never heard of this concept. Because the administrative head is always the spiritual head, or the spiritual head always is. They don't have a concept that you can have two, and with the two working together, the one in the administrative is junior to the one in the spiritual, even though he's the successful one and can make things happen. In the Western mindset, this just does not compute at all. I mean, terabytes crash when this comes up. Things free, they can't function. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the difficulty. We can't relate. Otherwise, that would be the thing. Just for an example, just say if the person is the temple president, right? We're just taking this as a random example, right? Yeah, okay. So, and they're good at inspiring the devotees, doing all these kind of things, but they can't get, the money or other things organized. Just have other devotees take those parts up. Either if there's one person that can do it all, great. And if not, various devotees take different parts. And then that becomes, then the temple has that spiritual thing, and then us doing things there, how much we can do, it's in an area we're good at, then it becomes service. And so then it all becomes part, and it's the spiritual overall that becomes the prominent. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's then how it's seen. So there's no need to get confused. But the difficulty comes up is, if I'm going to have to do all the money stuff, so I should be in charge. No. You just do that part.
Well, we've seen many times those who, start like that, they want to jump in a position and then they push people out,
Yes, and then everything becomes dry and boring.
Yeah.
Like I remember seeing two temples. One where the president was just like what you're talking about. Fabulous devotee, inspiring. The whole it was one of the nicest, yatras. Everybody's coming to the temple, everybody's, enthusiastic and all that, but the place, as far as management goes, it was a real mess, but nobody cared. Everyone came and did, and whole families would come and spend, Sunday program, everybody's there doing all the services and this and that, and they'd make it work. It wasn't like official, but it would work. But then with time, that temple had gone into debt. Because just the president wasn't good at raising money or managing money. And so then they removed him as the president and brought in a collector as the president. And so then now it's, you know, it doesn't work so well. And then another one I saw, then they were very good at management and stuff like this and that, and organized and got really, really nice, you know, good facilities. But you go into it, it's very sterile. You know, it's like going into a Birla temple. You ever been to a Birla temple?
Yeah,
Birla. Yeah, it's all marble, you know, all fabulous. You know, even they have jolly work in the walls, and that's the air conditioner, right? You know, so you don't see. It's all fabulous, but it's very dry. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty. So the we see with, like with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they had the spiritual leaders in the temple, but they had the temple manager. So the temple manager generally was always a grihastha, and the leaders were always the, you know, brahmacharis and sannyasis, because it was a mutt. And so it worked very nicely. So he's respected for his areas, but at the same time, as you have to understand, is it has to follow the spiritual. So you have to make the spiritual practical. And at the same time, is by that association, then those who do have that spiritual kind of drive, then they start to learn how to be practical, and the other person starts to learn how to see his service and connection with spiritual. So then everybody benefits. But when it's just a matter of, well, whoever is that you're raising the money or like that, then they're the ones that's in charge, then it doesn't work. They're in charge when it comes to those things, but they have to see it in context of the spiritual. Right? Because they'll want to make it the easiest for themselves. Right? You just get money and you just put it in the bank, that's the easiest. But that you have to spend it on things, then that's where the difficulty comes in. Right? So they have to have that respect for the spiritual authority. Then you can do. And then in this case, it's just like, let's say, you know, where you have a mutt, like Chopati. But the management of the members of the mutt and their program and the deities and the preaching is done by them. But as far as the finances and all those other things like that, you know, legal stuff, that's all done by the community. But it's not that they have, you know, one guy that's in there. It's that everybody does according to their areas of ability. You know, someone's legal, they do that stuff. Someone's medical, they do take care of that. Someone else is monetary, they take care of that. Is that? And that way, then everybody's serving. But it's all about. Then it becomes a nice place to come to, because if this person's there, the spiritual person, everyone likes him. They like to come there. But if the person who can manage it, you know, is in charge, who wants to come? You'll come out of duty, but you won't be inspired, because there's that competition, and then, you know, how they'll deal and everything like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of seeing that you perform your duty, it is perfect. That, you know, the thing is, Brahmins aren't necessarily always really good at, you know, how you say, general life. That's why they're comfortable living simple. Because that's how much they can get together and they're good with it. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. While in the more contemporary context, then it's no. The more your vocation is, you know, that makes money is strong, then the better you are. Rather than the Brahmin's vocation is the spiritual. Does that make sense?
Not sure what the vocation
means. The Brahminical vocation is studying and teaching. Right, that, you know, the deities, like this, that kind of thing. So if they're able to do that and inspire, they are situated in theirs. Therefore, administration and making money is someone else's business. But then everyone has to do everything. That's nice if you get someone like that, like Srila Prabhupada. He's a Shrikarya Brahman. So he can do all of those things. But it's not necessarily everybody's like that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, like Uddhava, he's a person like that. Like that. So you're hearing all the different things, but the point is that it all gets done. So one person cooks the whole feast, or different people cook different preparations. As long as it happens, it works. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Lord Krishna explains in this verse that one who is still attached to the material body and mind cannot artificially give up the prescribed duties of karma yoga. Rather, he should cultivate analytic knowledge of the material world by which one gives up attachment to the material body and mind. So he performs his duties and cultivates the aspect of, this analytic knowledge, of the jnana, because that's the next platform to get to, right? One who has achieved the perfect stage of love of Godhead, however, being freed from all gross and subtle attachments to the material world, may give up the lower stages of karma and jnana yoga and engage directly in the Lord's loving service. Right? And so then if we see there's a shortcoming in those things, then we'll take them up. Because it could be that by their transcendental situation, that's why they don't see it. Those unable to fully engage in Krishna consciousness should nonetheless not give up their regular prescribed duties, declaring them to be illusion. Because they are illusion, but it's an illusion. But you haven't given them up. So then you have to work with that illusion. Right? Yeah. But material piety and analytic knowledge of the material world must therefore be cultivated until one comes to the stage of directly practicing Krishna consciousness. So to that degree you're able to do, or those areas that you're able to do, in those areas it can be given up. Sri Krishna continued, O sinless Uddhava, in order to understand what is proper in life, one must cultivate a given subject within its particular category. One must evaluate a given subject within its particular category. Thus, in analyzing religious principles, one must consider purity and impurity. Similarly, in one's ordinary dealings, one must distinguish between good and bad. And to ensure one's physical survival, one must recognize that which is auspicious and inauspicious. Right? So then, yeah. So whenever you're looking at, you have to see it within its category. Where does it fall? Right? The religion is, what is your principle, what you're doing, what you should be doing, you see that in there. Right? Ordinary deals between good and bad, right? And the physical survival, auspicious and inauspicious. Right? You want the couple to survive, therefore you pick an auspicious time for the marriage. Right? Right? So says, yeah, for physical survival, right? Otherwise, no, it's not going to work. Right? People are thinking, oh, no, it's just that. No, that's so you'll survive. Right? Auspicious means you'll survive, right? No? Yes. Sri Krishna continued. Oh, no. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The diversity of good and bad is immense. I will describe it. Please listen. In order to destroy doubts about an object, whether it is proper or improper, such as, is it proper or improper to use smoke to drive out the mosquitoes? We're discussing your topic here. Among common elements mentioned in verse 5, that's coming up. Oh, these elements all emanate from the Lord. Okay, so earth, water, fire, air, ether, like that. Judgments of good and bad, auspicious and inauspicious, are applied.
It's good or not good? I mean, proper or...
You have to look, good or bad, auspicious or inauspicious. So is it auspicious? We make the smoke, the mosquitoes go away. Or... no smoke and plenty of mosquitoes.
Not
okay, yes. For instance, among leaves, roots, and fruits, Vastuka leaves are pure and Kalambi leaves are impure. These are used for judging Dharma in terms of pure and impure. What is pure is Dharma, and what is impure is adharma. Right? So then Dharma is all about what's pure, right? Purity in the understanding, purity in the effort, purity in the words, purity in the attitude, right? The ingredients, you know, those six that were mentioned. Right. So that's why cleanliness is so important, because it's all about purity. Right? You're trying to get to the heart, to the point of pure, means just about Krishna. It is applied in ordinary dealings as good quality and fault. If approved behavior is seen in someone impure, it is a good quality. And if one does not see that good behavior in the impurity, it is a fault. It is applied according to circumstance, yatartam, as auspicious and inauspicious. Though hoarding is inauspicious, in times of calamity, collecting for survival is auspicious. Though excessive hoarding is still inauspicious and a sin, right? You still collect more than you require. You know, it's like after, what's it, Y2K, when everyone figured out it wasn't happening, then some people like had a garage full, literally a garage full of toilet paper. You know, they wanted to make sure they had toilet paper for the next, you know, 10 years or something. So that's still inauspicious. Right? You know. No? Yes. Sri Krishna continued, I revealed this way of life for those bearing the burden of mundane religious principles. Earth, water, fire, air, and ether are the five basic elements that constitute the bodies of all conditioned souls, from Lord Brahma himself down to the non-moving creatures. These elements all emanate from the one personality of Godhead. My dear Uddhava, although all material bodies are composed of the same five elements and are thus equal, the Vedic literatures conceive of different names and forms in relation to such bodies so that the living entities may achieve their goal of life. Right? So then something's pure, impure, because it will create, it will attain or not attain what's the goal. But just because it may be the goal at the time, you have to see it in connection with the ultimate goal. Right? So, therefore, hoarding's not good. But in time of calamity, one may keep more. But if one develops the mentality of just hoarding, then that's going to be bad anyway. Right? You may survive, but your consciousness won't. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's always a matter of what's going to be pure and impure on the different levels. Right? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Sri Krishna says, you have said to me, the distinction observed between piety and sin comes from your own Vedic knowledge and does not arise by itself. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:25. That is true, but the Vedas do this to help the population. This is expressed in two verses. Datavaha means those things which support. It refers to the elements starting with earth. These elements constitute the bodies of Brahma and the plants. All bodies are thus similar. The bodies, however, are endowed with the Atma. In the bodies made of the same elements, different names and forms, words and objects they represent are made, relating to varnashram, such as Brahman, Brahmachari, betel nut seller, or oil man. The aim of making these names and forms is explained. They allow humans to attain goals in terms of dharma by restricting enjoying tendencies. Right? Because you want to enjoy in a particular area, you can enjoy, but they restrict it in such a way that it's elevated. Right, you're progressing because of the restriction in those things. You gain that piety where you start to gain knowledge and detachment. Then you're able to move forward. Sri Krishna continued, O saintly Uddhava, in order to restrict materialistic activities, I have established that which is proper and improper among all material things, including time, space, and all physical objects. Right, so that's how you go. Proper is pure, improper is impure, or auspicious in us, how you like. The BBT purport states, the word niyamartam, in order to restrict, is significant in this verse. A conditioned soul falsely identifies with his material senses, and thus considers anything giving immediate satisfaction of the body to be good, and anything inconvenient or disturbing to be bad. By higher intelligence, however, one recognizes long-term self-interest and danger. Right? So then you recognize that even in times of distress, by hoarding beyond what's required, that's going to create problem in long-term. You know, the danger will come in the future. Maybe it won't be noticed now. Right? Sri Krishna continued, among places, those bereft of the spotted antelope, those devoid of devotion to the Brahmanas, those possessing those possessing spotted antelopes but bereft of respectable men, provinces like Kikata, and places where cleanliness and purificatory rites are neglected, where meat-eaters are prominent, or where the earth is barren, are all considered to be contaminated lands. No?
Yeah, but that's most everywhere.
No, it's obvious. You can see it's a line of demarcation. It'll be green, then there's a fence, and then it's barren.
Mm-hmm. Made in green.
Yeah, so therefore then that becomes auspicious, and where it's barren is contaminated lands.
What is an antelope?
Antelope. They're like a kind of deer, but they don't have the... They have the horn that's like two single horns. They like curved. They're the kind of one that you'd find on an. They would be the kind that a unicorn would have if unicorns had horns. Well, unicorns have horns, but if there were unicorns that have horns, they would have those kind of horns. Right?
The unicorns would
have the dual corns like that. But I think a narwhal has that kind of thing, just one. So maybe that does that make them a unicorn? You know narwhals? They're kind of whale, but they're not so big. But they actually have a singular spike on their forehead.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But it's that kind that's spirally, like the antelopes. Mm. I guess if you have one horn, it's spirally. If not, then it looks like a tree.
Nice. These antelopes are considered now very rare species in India. Anybody who kills it, they're going to face severe...
Okay, so that these black... We used to have them here in the park. Yeah, the black bucks.
What happened?
I think during a flood, then they disappeared. And then after that, you can't say. Yeah, we had peacocks, flamingos. We even had flamingos. Prabhupada's Park, that was where the flamingos stayed.
They also disappear?
Yeah, because if you don't clip their feathers, then they fly over the fence. And when they fly over the fence, then there's someone over there very willing to invite them to dinner. They become the central event in the dinner program. Yes. So like that, then I think the peacocks and the they call it flamingos disappeared. You know, because if you clip the wings, oh, that's against it. If you clip the wings, this, that, black. Okay, so it's better to not clip the wings and have the locals eat them. So, yeah, of course. It's all that long-term, you know, moralistic vision, you know. Okay, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. First, pure and impure objects are described in 8 verses. Among places, any place devoid of the spotted antelope is impure. A place where there are no persons respecting brahmanas is most impure. Even if the place has spotted antelope, if there are dishonest kikatas, many persons who are unclean like malechas, or if the place has deserts, it is impure. A dvandva compound is used in the singular. Asau virya means a place of good men. If the place inhabited by kikatas were not upright, it is impure. If the place has righteous kikatas, it is pure. Anyone know what a kikata is?
No.
No? Kikata. I thought it would be kiratas, but...
Kirata.
Yeah, but it says kikatas. So I don't know if it's... You know, just another derivative of the same root or what. Sri Krishna continued. That basically means if one's not following the, you know, one lives, you know, unclean like the malechas, like that, then, you know, it's not good. But if they're honest and righteous like that, then it's pure. So the basic is what's supportive of of devotional life. That's what's considered auspicious, and what's not is inauspicious. Like if it's a desert, you can't grow anything, so how do you live there and do your service? Right? Unless you're if you're an iguana, then go for it. But if you're not, then go somewhere else. Sri Krishna continues. A specific time is considered pure when it is appropriate, either by its own nature or through achievement of suitable paraphernalia, for the performance of one's prescribed duty. Right? So, you have all the means, let's say there's a really good time now, but you don't have the facility. So then when you have the facility, then that time, then that becomes the auspicious time. Does that make sense?
Which Kikata is the Magadha domain of the kingdom.
Kikata is the?
Magadha kingdom.
The Magadha kingdom. And where's Magadha?
Bihar.
Bihar and Nepal.
Oh, and Nepal. Oh, okay. So I guess nothing more needs to be said. Now it is self-explanatory. Yes, yeah, so if they're righteous, then it's pure, and if they're not righteous, it's impure.
So right? Them? Hmm? Everybody else?
It's the principle.
Universal.
Yeah, because then you go and apply it everywhere. That time which impedes the performance of one's duties is considered impure. Right? So that's the only consideration of auspicious, inauspicious. It will impede the performance of duty. We're generally looking at it, I won't get my result. Right? Mm-hmm. But it's not exactly about the results, it's about serving Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right? So if the result's for Krishna, then you pick the time because it'll be nice for Krishna. Does that make sense? So it's simply just, you can do your service to Krishna or not. That's the consideration. Right? The BBT Purport states, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that the most auspicious of all times is the moment one achieves the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one neglects the loving service of the Lord, being carried away by sense gratification, he is certainly living in most inauspicious times. Objects, place, and time were mentioned in verse 7. Now purity and impurity of objects is shown in four verses, 10 through 13, Sardartha Darshini. Sri Krishna continued, an object's purity or impurity is established by application of another object, by words, by rituals, by the effects of time, or according to relative magnitude. Impure things may or may not impose sinful reactions upon a person, depending on that person's strength or weakness, intelligence, wealth, location, and physical condition. Right? So it's all about this simple point, but because you have so many considerations, we don't connect it. But we won't necessarily be looking at them like that. Right? Because we're looking at, okay, in Manu there's a chapter on pure and impure things and how to purify and all that. But we may not be looking at it from the context of the purity is helpful to service and impurity is not. Right? So when you start seeing it like that, then it has meaning. So much of the time, so many of the Vedic directives and that don't really mean much for us because we don't have a context in which to view them. Right? Does that make sense? So if our ancestors were Kikatas, then we may not. But the interesting thing is that it means they're here, but you also find them in Europe. There's huge amounts of them. Like that.
Migrants or what?
No, they've been there for like 1,000 years or so. And they still speak the Bihar language. Yeah, so if you know the language, you can talk to them. The accent's a little different. They'll understand what you're saying. Because they're either from there, or from Rajasthan, or from Andhra. These three different places. I bumped into ones that were from, that were Bihar. And they know where they go back to, even though it's been 1,000 years or something, hundreds of years. Like that. But the same group. Yes?
Is it the same as gypsies?
Like that. Yeah. No, so they're there.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think they all speak to Bhojpuri. I'm not sure that I don't think they speak Andhran. I didn't hear any of them speaking, you know.
Bhojpuri Maharaj, both the Rajasthanis and Bijaris.
They also speak Bhojpuri. Okay. Yeah, so it's interesting. So it's there. And they, you know, they tend to be a lot of unrighteous, and so that, you know, people are a little worried about them. Like that. I think it was in, yeah, Hungary. There was a highway they wanted to, that the government wanted to put in, but the local people didn't want it. Because the problem was is the area where all the gypsies lived. Then if they had this highway, they could come very quickly in 5-10 minutes to the house, steal everything and go away, and you'd never catch them. But as it is, they have to come down the little funky roads and this and that, so they don't come so often. So after 10 years of back and forth, finally then they made the... I'm not sure what the results, because we don't have our Hungarian representative here, but...
Later.
Huh? We'll ask later, yes. Yeah, so. So once you have a context, then it starts to make sense that these are things that are dealing with the purification, right? By applying another object, words, rituals, effects of time according to relative magnitude, all in effect on one's service or not. The time, the place, the circumstance, all these things, right?
Yeah. We always base these things on Shastra first.
Yes.
And then, for example, we take the things that not in the Shastra at all, because, you know, Lechi, Yavanas, and then we make those more auspicious. I mean, they're all inauspicious, but at least some of them can become auspicious by devotional service.
So you want to know if the avocado will become auspicious by offering it to Krishna? Yes.
I think it's auspicious before.
It was always auspicious. Yes, the point is that's why it says here, if they're righteous, then it becomes pure. So the point is when you're trying to follow the principle, see, even if the detail is not there, the principle has to be attained. That's the problem in when we distract the consciousness to the detail. You see the symptoms to the detail, because that's what they'll talk about in these effects of purity and all that. But there's a principle of that. So is it pure? Is it, how does it help the duty? You know what I'm saying? Because if you're looking at it, that even you're looking at it in contemporary environment, when you go to work, you would wear those clothes that make things auspicious for work. You know what I'm saying? And then when you're at home, you'd wear those things. When you go to the temple, it's something else. When you go out jogging, again, something else. You know, like this. You know, you find what works for that. Does that make sense? So then it could be there, but that principle has to be there that it works. But otherwise, when we say, oh, no, I have these attachments, we can't do that. But then the problem comes is, how is that good for work? Right? It means, in other words, if they want you to wear a suit, but you don't want to wear a suit, how is that going to be good for work? Does that make sense? But places where you don't have to wear a suit, if you wore a suit, they'd still, you know, it'd be okay. Mm-hmm. So you have to see that it's seen in the context of what's the principle, how it connects to Krishna, what principle it's affecting there, you know, purity and auspiciousness of this or that. Not that my attachments are auspicious and what I don't like is inauspicious. That's not one of the ones, right? So, you know, sad, but true. Various objects such as grains, wooden utensils, things made of bone, thread, liquids, objects derived from fire, skins, and earthly objects are all purified by time, by wind, by fire, by earth, and by water, either separately or in combination. A particular purifying, says by application of another object. Like you have a pile of grains, you purify that by water. Right? If it's a small amount, you just wash it. If it's a huge amount, you just sprinkle some water. Not just any old water. You know, that's the proper water.
much purifying by time, was
purifying by time.
Probably if you leave it long enough, then... by time. Some things you just leave, like the earth. Becomes impure, you just leave it. You know, like the fields left fallow, and then it gets purified. You can also by plowing. If you need immediate, you just that. But not by just by sitting. Or I've heard in Sweden, if anything goes wrong in any relationship, they just leave it for time, and after time, then everything's fine. Yeah, everybody. That's another thing. But it's just somehow or another that it just works for them. Yeah, other places they still remember, right? Like that.
So relationships are objects for them.
I guess, but it's just with time, just everything's fine. It's just how they work. You know, sweeping the dust under the rug actually works for them. There's something they don't know what to do with. No one talks about it. And with time, then everybody's fine. So means in Manu, there's one chapter that gives all the details of this. So unless they give specifically more here, then
even the organic dirt, you just throw it and leave it. After some days, it's just not there. Any like the banana peel.
Oh yeah, yeah. You just put that's true also. You know, it's like after a program, you throw all the banana leaves in one place, and after some time, it's not there anymore. You know, or things that are impure, like it's moldy and all that, then by time it'll just, you know, decompose and become compost or, you know, organic fertilizer and all, right? Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. So it's either separately or in combination, one works, or you may use a few of them, like this or like that. A particular purifying agent is considered appropriate when its application removes the bad odor or dirty covering of some contaminated object and makes it resume its original nature. Right? So that's how you know. Because some things, that doesn't work. Like wood. You know, if something you just take off, fine, but if it's not, then you actually have to plane it. You know, peel off a layer of wood, then it's considered pure. Like that. So different things, different. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Objects like plates are purified by water and made impure by urine or other impure items. Objects are made pure or impure by words. When there is a doubt, if a Brahmin says the object is pure, it is pure. Right? If you don't know, you know, it's just like you got this. You know, is this clean or not? Someone else says, yeah, it's clean because they washed it before. It's clean. You don't have to go back through yourself and find out, investigate. No, if the Brahmin says it's clean, it's clean. If he says it's impure, it's impure. Even though, no, but that's so impractical, but it's not clean. Objects are purified.
Right.
Objects are purified
by cleaning.
By cleaning.
Objects are purified by cleaning, sprinkling of water, etc. This is how flowers are purified, right? You sprinkle with water, you don't wash them. If you wash them, you wash out all the fragrance. You know, it'd be like trying to wash your paneer butter masala. Right? You'll have the paneer left, but all the butter and masala will be gone. Right? So you purify by sprinkling. Right? They are made impure by smelling them. Right? When you smell, now they're impure. So you sprinkle, then they're pure. But that doesn't mean you smell them, then sprinkle them. No. I'm just throwing this out because, how you say?
Experience.
Yeah, but I'm just saying the Western attitude, especially the American attitude. Okay, but then if smell it that, but then you could smell them then like that, then you could sprinkle with that. But then the thing is, we don't know if they're good smelling, so we have to smell them first. But then by smelling, they become impure. But we have to make them pure so they can be offered by sprinkling with water. It says, well, why smell them? Well, we don't know if they're good to offer because you have to offer a flower that has smell. Ones without smell, that's American.
That's also Indian. Because some Matajis, for their home deities, they taste the food just to check.
That's a different thing.
Then I can sprinkle and then do that. You
know? No, but that's a different thing.
Because
that's different.
is different, Maharaj. They again purify whatever they have eaten.
The flowers, you know, smell. It's jasmine, you know they smell. You don't have to pick them up and smell them. But the food, you may not know how well it came out, whether it's balanced or not, and you're offering to Krishna, so you test it to see if it is.
So that's okay.
Yes. But the contemporary environment where you cook and eat and do all that at the same time, that's not. There's a difference. Because the one you're just checking to see if it's right. It's not just, ooh, that looks good. You know. Yeah, that's also there. I once saw in one temple, they were checking the sweet rice. The cooks that cooked the sweet rice and the sweets, they went check. So they took out these huge cups of sweet rice. And they're sitting there and they both go, they each had a cup, right? They go, yeah, I don't know. Is it too sweet? Or what do you think? Well, I don't know. Maybe like this. And then they finished the cup. They got more. And then when they finished the second cup, then they go, yeah, you know, it was either okay or no, we have to add more sugar. Yeah. Because they knew that you could taste. But taste means you put a little in your hand just like that. Because if you can't figure it out by that, you shouldn't be doing it. Like that. But that was one time. I was so amazed watching that. I was just like, okay. No, it's a matter of checking it for that. But checking means it's just that. But it's only something, stuff that you always know works, you don't have to. But then something you're not sure of, or something went, you can't tell if it's there, you don't know if you put salt or not, then you do. But otherwise...
That shouldn't become the standard.
Huh?
That shouldn't become the standard.
It's not the standard. But it's not that you can't. So that's the problem, is when you're dealing in these external societies, then it's either one or the other. It's you eat everything, and then if there's anything left over, then, you know, Krishna can smell the burp or something. Well, that was a nice offering, yeah. You know, something like that. You know, something. Right? Or it's you can't even look at it, and that, in fact, everyone's blindfolded with their hands behind their back, you know, when they have to cook. You know, one or the other, right? So you know, either walking straight off the street with your shoes on and everything, or they run you through one of those things like in the sci-fi movies, you know, with 10 baths with chemicals and this and that. And, you know, it's just, not, you know, it can't be balanced. It's if you need, you check, and if you don't, then you don't. But if you have this habit, you always have to check because you never know, then better you learn. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem with these things. Is that they're, it's just, yeah. Is understand the principle and then work. That you just see it as a detail, then you'll never understand it. New rainwater becomes purified by waiting 10 days' time, because it said new rainwater is actually in the mode of passion. So then, but at the same time as you have those who collect rainwater, and then they say, oh, you can't collect water, it's passion. But it's for the first 10 days. After 10 days, then it's considered good.
Because the dirt comes with the rainwater first when it's flowing, and after continuous flow, after a certain time, it
stops. Oh, then it stops. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. The water is impure if not left for that time. Bodies of water used by outcasts are pure if they are large and impure if they are small. Right? Because it's a matter of the volume of, you know, if the volume of them and what they do compared to the water. You know, in other words, at least in certain places, you probably have to count the Danube as impure. You know, or any river in India, like that. It's just a matter of what's being done and how big it is. But if it's a huge body of water, and on one, you know, one side over there, there's a group living there that they may be outcasts. But it's only it's just their area that's going to deal with. But the whole body of water will be big. But you know what I'm saying? But if you have like a pukur like the size of this room, and they're using it, then you probably go use another one. Right?
Villages in all the villages in India, they have their own areas where Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and outcasts, so they don't use each other's.
Yeah, that's fair. They could do that, but if there's a main point is that the water is pure because you may go and you don't know, so then you go to whatever. Because even if you have a puddle, then you wouldn't break it up like that.
Mm.
Okay, this is the Brahmin side of the puddle. Okay. This is the Kshatriya side.
But generally, rivers are flowing, then it's considered pure.
Yeah.
Flowing.
And because they're flowing, then also from the industry, then things flow. And so because the volume of, like I heard that in Vrindavan and the Jamuna, there's a layer of foam on top.
Yes, yes.
So now they even say you can't take bath. So.
In 2016 Parikrama, all devotees are going to the foam and they are playing with them. They don't know what it is. It's an early morning on the Brahmanagar for, I think, 5, 6 o'clock. So it looks very, very cool and all the fog is there. But they might thought that this is something like it's condensed, or what do you say? It's
nectar.
And they are playing with that. And so by seeing all the places, you see a lot of the fishes were died. It's like very bad.
Yeah. Very bad. Okay. Yes. Okay. So the Shastra is giving all these. Manu will explain these things, and then the other Shastras will give definitions, the Acharyas, so that we understand finer and finer points. A piece of worn out cloth is impure for a person of wealth. But it is pure for a poor person. Right? So the wealthy person, if he has a hole in his cloth like that, then he has to get a new cloth. Because also then all his old stuff goes to his servants and everything like that. So now it has a hole in it, now it goes to the servants, now for them it's pure. Right? These objects and words, etc., create sin for the jiva according to normal place and physical condition. That means that the rules become effective in a safe place. Not a place affected by thieves. When one is healthy, not sick. When one is youthful, not a baby or too old. Right? So all these times and all that is that all these things will be there. But then if there's a problem where there's a difficult place, then they may not apply. You just have to get through that. But you don't stay there because it's an inauspicious place. Desham kalam tata manam dravyam dravya prayojanam upapattim avastam cha gyatva saucham prakal payet. Considering the place, time, body, objects, use of the objects, suitability and circumstance, one should determine purity. It was said that objects could be purified by other objects. That is explained. Grains, wood, ivory, cloth, liquids like oil and ghee, precious metals, skins, earthen objects like pots and bricks become pure by time, wind, fire, earth, and water, according to scriptural rules. So scripture will say what goes with what. These purifying agents may be used in combination or singly, because something may be you can use many of them. Like wool can be purified by the sun, it can be purified by the moon, purified by the wind. So you might just leave it out, all day and night, so you're using all of them. Right? Thus, metals are pure. Oops. I guess we'll just go back to it. Because I'm just so used to you just sit and wait, but then we also have something that we don't have to wait for. Right? Thus, metals are purified by earth, water, and fire as well. Wool cloth is purified by air alone. If a seat, cloth, or vessel is contaminated by an impure item, it gives up the contamination and smell by water, earth, acid, soap, and scraping. It is then restored to its original nature. That is its purity. One should measure the purification from the extent that the contamination by smell is removed by scraping or other means. Right? So the idea is it's pure when, basically it says when the smell is gone and when the stain is gone. So if you can't get rid of either of those, you just forget it. But otherwise, that's what you're going for. Not that it's just, we just apply it. No, you have to do it. It has to be effective. Right? Sri Krishna continued. The self can be cleansed by bathing, charity, austerity, age, personal strength, purificatory rituals, prescribed duties, and above all by remembrance of me. The Brahmana and other twice-born men should be duly purified before performing their specific activities. Right, so all these things then should, you know, be applied and respected. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Purification of objects has been described. Now purification of the person who purifies objects is described. Purification of the performer with his bodily identity takes place by bathing, charity, austerity, old age, conduct according to capability, samskars like upanayanam, and rites such as sandhya worship. The aim is stated. A pure person performs his duties. The dvija is mentioned, but this applies to shudras as well.
It mentions purification by old age. What's that?
Yeah. Age doesn't purify?
That's what is my question. Does age purify?
It says here it does. Why would you ask? You can say, how does it purify?
Yeah, how does
it? You can't
purify?
Say, does it?
Okay, how does it purify?
Because with time, let's say, when you're younger, then you have so many ideas of how you're going to, you know, establish world domination and enjoy life to the fullest. And then with time, you have to figure out that that's not going to happen, and so that's not worthwhile.
So realization.
Yeah, but it comes by age. Mm. No? Mm. Like that. Like it said, like Manu says, someone who's 90 years old is respected by everybody. Right, because they'll say things and understand things that no one else will when it comes to social and all those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're devotees, then of course realization. Because what's the difference? At 90, then generally means at 90 years old, do you have confidence on how long you're going to live?
Mm-hmm.
No. When you're 20, then you think you're going to live forever. But when you're 90, you know you're not living forever.
Yes.
Right? And so because of that, then they have much more, understanding of things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you can do that at earlier age, then that comes. You know, so therefore, that's why it says, austerity, personal strength, purificatory rituals, prescribed duties, all these things then are done. You do your duties, you get purified. No?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's why. Sri Krishna continued, a mantra is purified when chanted with proper knowledge, and one's work is purified when offered to me. Right? Otherwise, you're performing the work, but it's for yourself, it won't be purified. But you offer to Krishna the result, then it becomes purified. Right? So even if it's in karma and jnana, you've offered to Krishna. Right? But you want results from that, but you've offered the results from your work to Krishna. Right? So that's why karma and jnana won't work without bhakti. Thus, by purification of the place, time, substance, doer, mantras, and work, one becomes religious. And by negligence of these six items, one is considered irreligious. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Purification of mantras described. Suitable knowledge from the mouth of the pure guru purifies a mantra. Action is purified by offering it to the Lord. If not offered, it is impure. By purity of these six items, one should conduct oneself in life. After showing purity and impurity, everything is summarized. By the purity of six items, place, time, objects, perform a mantra and action, dharma is accomplished. When there's impurity of these items, it is the cause of all dharma. Right? So that's the essence. If that's seen, that sentence there, then that's how you define purity and impurity. That's how you say is what's dharma and what's adharma. Right? So, it may be according to whether it's karma, jnana, or bhakti. But the point is what elevation you are in each of these paths. But it's still these six. So that's the nice thing about the Vedic, it has a specific definition, but then because of its broadness, it applies to everything and everybody. Right? So that's where it seems to get complicated. But actually, it's very simple. Right? These six items are pure. Dharma is accomplished. They're not pure. Then it's a dharma. Simple. Sri Krishna continued. Sometimes piety becomes sin, and sometimes what is ordinarily sin becomes piety on the strength of Vedic injunction. But it's by Vedic injunction. We don't make it up. Such special rules, in effect, eradicate the clear distinction between piety and sin. Right? So because of that, then it starts to become unclear. Right? Because you're accommodating everything. So therefore, when you accommodate in one area, it may be pious, but in another area it's not. Like we said, the old clothes on the wealthy man is impious, but on the poor man, it's pious. Right? Because the wealthy man can get something new. The poor man, at least he's wearing something. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. This division of good and bad is not always fixed. During calamity, hoarding is a good quality, but during normal times, it is a bad quality, since it is forbidden. Though giving up one's family is a fault, by following the rules for detachment, it is a good quality. Therefore, the very rules for these two objects, good and bad, destroy the distinction of good and bad. The rule which says it is wrong to give up one's family also negates the fault for a particular qualified person, since it is a good quality for the jnani to give up his family. The rule that says that it is good to give up one's family also negates that good quality for the karmi, since it is wrong for the karmi to give up his family. Right? Because it's a qualification. So then if anybody says that, then it's wrong. No, it's according to the, as we said before, the person, the performer. That. Thus, good and bad are not fixed universally, but are determined according to particular circumstances. Sri Krishna continued, the same activities that would degrade an elevated person do not cause fall down for those who are already fallen. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, a shooter doesn't fall down. He's already in a fallen position. So then anything done properly is simply elevating. Indeed, one who is lying on the ground cannot possibly fall further. The material association is dictated that by one's own nature it is considered a good quality. Material association is dictated by one's own nature is considered a good quality. Let's say someone is a musician. Right? And so therefore they work in that. So other musicians then is being in that association is good, because by that their music ability will develop. Right? But now if you want to actually, so that aspect will be good. But now if you want to, the overall that they play music and get results, unless that's offered to Krishna, it doesn't become purified. But it's auspicious for their music. Like I remember one devotee was making the point where he was saying something about doing some work with some music. And then his first question is, who do you listen to? Right? So in other words, from the music world, if you're not listening to music, you're not going to be putting together music. Does that make sense? So that's auspicious for developing the music. Now whether, so but that's according to your nature. One's own nature, right? But if it's not your, then you don't do that. Does that make sense? You know, we're devotees, so we listen to, we're devotional, so we listen to that devotional element, because that will improve the devotional. Does that make sense? But let's say you have a devotee who's a musician in a certain area, they might listen to other music to see technique and stuff like that. So because if that's the mentality, that's the nature, then it's a good quality. But as they advance, where it's just, you know, we just do things, we don't worry about that, then it's no longer important. So that's the thing, is the Vedic is so exact, but at the same time, it's so individual. that is beyond anything that anybody knows. Does that make sense? Because we can generally do one or the other. It's individual, so we do whatever we want. Or here are the rules, everybody follows it. Square peg, round hole, doesn't matter. It's happening. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The irregularity of rules is described. The activity, such as drinking wine, for a person who has not fallen, is a cause of fall down, but the same activity for the fallen person does not cause him to fall, since he has already fallen. Right? The drunkard drinks alcohol, he's not going to fall any further, because he's already fallen. If you have someone who's not, and they drink, then they fall. Does that make sense? You're taking it that the drunk guy is standing up, and only when he falls over on the face, then he's in a no more fallen position.
Yeah, but still now. Huh? You can drink every day, and you're still not really alcoholic, and then when you lose everything, then you fall further.
Yeah. How do you say it?
It's a gradation.
She's giving gradations within the fallen. If someone may drink a regular amount, you know, socially acceptable amount, and they're not considered fallen, but then when they lose their money, now they start drinking beyond the socially acceptable, and now they're considered fallen. Yeah. But with those within the classical category of dwijas, then the other one's already fallen. Degrees within fallen, yes.
It had a campaign, you know, responsible drinking.
Yeah, yeah.
Like all over the world, actually.
Yeah.
You know, different places. And like.
And sometimes what's fun is those campaigns are done by alcohol industry.
Yeah, the company.
Yeah. Because that way they can't be blamed. You can't make cases against them.
Yeah.
Just like I saw 5 years ago or something, started in England, that the gambling places, they are advertising be responsible in your gambling.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, don't spend more than you have money and this and that and you know like that. They have in Australia also. Yeah, I think it might just be a you know the whole Commonwealth thing. But whatever it is, I saw it in England and yeah, now I remember seeing it in Australia. You have Ladbrokes? No, something else. I mean, you'd think that they'd catch just by the name of the place. The gambling place is called Ladbrokes.
Ladbrokes?
Yeah, they may probably take it meaning brokers, you know, the lad. Were the brokers for the lads? No. And by those lads going to you brokers, they become broke, right? So. The broker and the brokey. Yeah, so then. Yeah, then whatever. Okay. Association with women is a fault for the sannyasi, but association with his wife during a fertile period is a good the householder. Whatever, we get the idea. It's okay for the householder, since it is natural. That's why it's not quite Indian English. Otherwise it would say the good. Is a the good for the house. Yeah. Yeah, we could read this in Indian English, right? An example is given for both these conditions. A person who is lying down cannot fall down. Right? So that's the whole point. Is that
that's the verdict.
Because the point is, this fallen is already a category. Within that, you could, yes, make gradation. You know, it's just like within Shankara, then they'll make gradations. But it's all Shankara, so it's all fallen. And then within that, one can make. So, yes.
We know that, you know, Srila Prabhupada, he gave a quite simple, standard set of rules. Say, for example, for initiation, first and second. But now those rules like expanded and it became like super complex, actually. And now, many don't know, but you know, now is the, you know, very, for some gurus, it's very complicated test for pranam, which like during Srila Prabhupada's time, it was like, you know.
There's no test for pranam.
There was no.
You just came and joined the temple. You just.
Yeah, you get pranam. Like,
well, it's not that you got pranam, you just learned the mantra and said it. Getting pranam is a new, is kind of a new thing. You've ritualized what everybody before did.
Yeah, because actually senior devotees, when they...
Because it's considered, I guess, they're looking at it as Purusharya Vidhi, so they're making it kind of an official. But...
Yeah, whatever. So, this is very, how you say, people just, you know, devotees, they come new and inspired, fired up, and then there's a, you know, huge list of, you know, rules and regulations. They just throw, you know, they just...
Yeah, but those aren't these rules and regulations.
No.
It's just... I mean, either they're one looking at things to make it practical and stuff like that, but you have the element that when you're in contact with everybody, then you can tell from that aspect. But when you're not, then you know there has to be some other method.
Yeah, of course.
Right. And so before that, then there was the interim where it was okay, the temple president. Or, you know, those persons who are the authority, then they're in contact. They know their nature. Because there's a common standard of, you know, in the society of what is, you know, pure devotional service. So who has that potential that they're interested in that, then that would move forward. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then...
Because some people, they don't have an intellectual ability to go through all those tests, but still they're sincere devotees.
Then... find a different guru. Doesn't have all the tests. You know, it's like, the, like I said, this devotee was telling me there in L.A., you know, a long time ago, I think back in the, may have been in the 70s or, no, it would have been 80s, early 80s. And they went to someone's house, they were invited for lunch, and they had made a chocolate cake. And they saw that they were offering it. But the picture that they were offering to wasn't their guru. You know, and so they ask him, why your guru? He says, oh, my guru doesn't eat chocolate, but this guru does. So like that, you just, you know, it says Swajati, so, you know, you find someone who, you know, you're a paisano, find someone you can relate to. You know?
There's some other rule that heard. I don't know how authentic is this one. That they claim that it's Radhana Swami, but I don't know. So whatever guru you see, when you offer obeisances, you say their pranam. They're making it personal.
But your connection with them, you can do that, but your connection with them is through your spiritual master. So even in front of the deities, you offer your obeisances too. You offer the pranam mantra of your spiritual master, not the deities. Means if you want to add, then you can add that to that. It's not a problem. So you say your spiritual masters and theirs. But then, good luck on learning how many we got. In the,
72.
Huh?
72, I think.
Yeah, it's like... Yeah, so it's like this morning. I sit for some point, I start to say Prabhupada's pranam mantra. And then at the end, then it was, you know, somehow or another, you know, somehow you space out. And then at the end, when I finished the mantra, I was saying, Jaya Bhakta Prahlad. And I thought, oh, I just said the Nisringa prayer. Yeah, so it didn't work out. Yeah, I'm still, you know, happy to know this one pranam mantra. Yeah. Yeah, so you can add that, that's fine, but it shouldn't be that you don't say your own, because it's only through your spiritual master you have contact with the Vaishnava community, the deities, you know, like this. So it always goes back to that one is done, because they represent Krishna. Krishna is everybody's guru, and so that way it's actually technically done. Or, if you want to do that, then the more general, which we've, you know, had from before, and is, you know, probably doable because you could memorize it, is you just say Vancha Kalpa Tarubhis Chak, because that's what we've been doing since the, you know, the 60s. You see all the devotees, you just say that. So, yeah, but it's up to you how good you are with mantras. And then, you know, there's also the point that since they have to reciprocate, you're sitting there and spending 5 minutes offering prayers and they have to wait there for you to do that, then that's also then a consideration. Sri Krishna will continue tomorrow. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.